Some of you are patiently waiting right now. And you don't know why I'm not saying anything, but you're assuming it's for a reason, and you're waiting in excited anticipation to find out why. Well, if that's you, you're probably going to love this sermon. Others of you, your impatience is killing you right now. And you're thinking, why isn't this guy talking? Like, let's get this thing going. I've got places to be. I got things to do. And this guy is slowing me down. If that's you, you're probably not going to like this sermon nearly as much. But you're probably the ones who need to listen the most. And with that said, welcome to part four of this 9-week series that we've called Fruitful. This is your first time. Super excited that you chose to join us. Throughout this series, we're answering the question, what's the proof that we're following Jesus? Not what's the proof we're saved. We are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus alone. Salvation is a gift. The question we're answering is, what's the proof we're actually following Jesus after we put our faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our lives? And that's an important question to accurately answer, because many of us, many of you claim to be a follower of Christ, but claims don't mean much without evidence. And I know that you desire to experience the power and presence of God in your life. Well, that happens by actively following Jesus as the leader of your life. So, what's the proof that we're, what's the proof that you're actually following Jesus? Well, Jesus' answer is, we'll be known by our fruits. Another way to say it is, the fruit is the proof. Which leads to the question, well, what fruit? Well, the Apostle Paul told us in the New Testament book of Galatians chapter 5 when he wrote, but the fruit of the Spirit, and the Spirit Paul's referring to is God's Spirit called the Holy Spirit, who takes residence within us the moment that we put our faith in Jesus in order to transform us more into everything God's created us to be, in order to transform who we are into Christ's likeness, in order to produce the fruit of his character within us, the fruit of the Spirit. And here's that fruit. Let's say this verse out loud together again. Here we go. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, the reality is you and I cannot make the fruit of the Spirit grow in our lives. They are fruits of the Spirit. It means they are produced and grown by him. But we do have a part to play in it. And one sentence later, Paul told us our part is to keep in step with the Spirit, which was Paul's way of saying, follow Jesus one next step at a time by doing what he is leading and inviting you to do through the promptings and the stirrings and the convictions of his Spirit that resides within you. That's how the Holy Spirit grows, produces, and transforms the fruit of the Spirit within us. The fruit of the Spirit is evidence we're being more transformed into everything God's created us to be by keeping in step with the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is proof we're actively and actually following Jesus. And since the fruit is the proof, and since many of us claim to be followers of Christ, throughout this series, we're looking at each of these 9 fruits of the Spirit one by one. And as we do, the question that begs to be asked, the question that Jesus wants us to ask is this fruit growing in me? When we look at each of these 9 pieces of fruit, if you go, yeah, they're growing in me, that's proof you're following Jesus and being transformed by him. So whatever you're doing, keep doing it. As we look at each of these, if you'd go, nope, that fruit isn't very evident in me, it's an opportunity to ask, Jesus, what next step are you inviting me to take to keep in step with you? And whatever next step you feel like he's inviting you to take to follow him, as someone who claims to be a follower of Christ, take it. Take it so that the fruit of the Spirit is produced and transformed in you, because the fruit is the proof. Now, so far we've looked at the first 3 fruits that Paul listed. Today, we're diving into the 4th fruit, the fruit of forbearance, which can also be translated patience. Now, the Greek, and Greek was the original language that the New Testament was written in, the Greek word translated as forbearance or patience in Galatians 5 is the word makruthumia. And makruthumia literally means long-tempered or long-suffering. In other words, patience is not passive waiting. It's restrained response over time. A simple definition of patience is refusing to pressure God or others to move at your pace. Patience is enduring delay, difficulty, discomfort, disappointment for longer than we want without reacting in anger, retaliation, or control. Now, a couple critical observations about the fruit of patience, about this definition, before we move on. Patience is a defining attribute of God. It's not just something God does, it's who He is. The writers of Scripture define God as being slow to anger. Anger that we deserve from Him because of our violation of sin against Him. Yet God is described as being slow to anger and abounding in love, meaning God patiently waits on us. He bears with us. He acts in mercy and in patient mercy and grace instead of immediate justice. Patience is who God is. He endures delay, difficulty, discomfort, and disappointment from us for longer than He should without reacting in anger, retaliation, or control. So when the fruit of patience is being produced and grown within us, it's proof we're being more transformed into everything God's created us to be. It's proof we're being more transformed into His likeness. Second observation about this definition is that patience is relational. And it always moves in two directions. Patience toward God, refusing to pressure Him to move at our pace, and patience toward others, refusing to pressure him, her, them to move at our pace either. Patience is always revealed and on display in our relationship with God and our relationship with others. God wants to grow the fruit of patience within us because it's a fruit of His Spirit. But why in the world would we want it grown? Why in the world would we want to be patient? Now, I'm going to be very honest with you right up front. Patience is very, 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 very hard for me. I am naturally wired to be the most naturally impatient person on the face of the earth. If you go through Relevant 101 and 201, you're gonna end up taking the Gallup Strength Finder. And so those of you who are on volunteer staff, you know all this lingo. Two of my top five Gallup themes are futuristic, which means I am always thinking about the future. I am always living in the future. I'm never living in it today. It's always 1 year, 5 years, 10 years down the road. And activator, which means let's get going on it right now. Tomorrow is too late. Yesterday was too late, which means patience is not natural for me because I am wired to move fast, decide fast, act fast. And if I'm being super honest with you, patience to me seems like a little bit of a liability. Because of that, God especially wants to grow the fruit of patience in me, and He wants to within you too. And as hard as patience is for some of us, you want the fruit to be produced in you as well. And there's at least two reasons why. First one is because on the most practical level, impatience leads to regret. Being impatient to get married have so many people have married the wrong person and regretted it later. People waiting, you know, wanting to own a house right now have impatiently bought one and then later regretted it. Many leaders have impatiently fired someone or hired someone and later they just absolutely wish that they hadn't. And most of us have said something hurtful to someone because they weren't changing fast enough, moving fast enough, doing what we wanted fast enough. And once it came out of our mouths, we could not take it back. You want the fruit of patience to be produced in you because acting out of impatience almost always leads to regret. But an even bigger and even more important reason that God wants to and you want the fruit of patience to be produced in you is because impatience fractures relationship. Now, if you don't take my word for it, you should at least take James' word for it. And it's so cool we have the book of James in the New Testament because James was Jesus' younger brother. Now let me ask you, what would it take for you to convince your younger brother that you were the Son of God? A lot. Which is why James didn't buy into it throughout Jesus' lifetime. James thought Jesus was crazy. He wanted nothing to do with his claims. But then James later declared his older brother as his Lord. And then James became the leader of the first church in Jerusalem. And it happened only because of one reason. He heard his older brother Jesus predict his death and resurrection, and then he watched his older brother Jesus get crucified on a cross, and then he personally saw his older brother Jesus alive. The resurrection changed everything for James, and if you're not a follower of Christ, you never put your faith in Jesus, it should change everything for you as well. Now, a few years after the resurrection, James wrote a letter to followers of Christ spread throughout the Roman Empire. And that letter was preserved. It made it into our New Testament, and it was entitled James. And to start chapter 4, here's what James wrote. What causes fights and quarrels among you? He's saying, hey, what do you think causes fights and tension and conflict with them, with him, with her, with your spouse, with your kids, with your boss? With your parents, with your friends, with one another. And all of us would go, well, them. They're the one who cause it. And James like, I have a different source. Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? James is making the case that the source of external conflict always begins with an internal one. James is saying, there's something that you want from them. And when you don't get what you want, when you want it, the impatience inside of you eventually spills out in tension and conflict and fighting with them. You desire, but you do not have what you want when you want it. So you kill, not literally, but metaphorically, we kill trust, closeness, intimacy. We kill the marriage, the friendship, the relationship. You covet, but you cannot get what you want when you want it. At the pace you want it, so you quarrel and fight. James' point is selfish impatience fractures relationship with others. Because impatience always produces fighting and tension, conflict, it always produces distance. Selfish impatience never brings people closer. It always pushes people away from one another. And come on, you don't need the Bible to know that because you've experienced it. We've all experienced a relationship in our lives being fractured because someone pressured you to move at their pace or because you pressured them to move at yours. You do not have what you're impatiently trying to get from others because you do not ask God. It's like without warning, James shifts attention from our horizontal relationships to our with one another to our vertical relationship with God. And everyone's thinking, wait, what? What does God have to do with this? And James is going, more than you can possibly know. You should ask God for what you want and what you need and what you seek to have. But you don't because you want it now and you're impatiently trying to get it from them. And when you do ask God for what you want, you do not receive. He's not answering your prayers, not because he's absent, but because you ask with the wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. James is saying, you're treating God like a genie in a bottle and praying with selfish impatience. God, give me what I want. God, give it to me now on my timeline. You adulterous people, James is saying, you claim to be a follower of Christ, but you're unfaithful in your relationship with him. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world, and that's James' way of saying that acting like the rest of the world, that like people who have not put their faith in Jesus and don't have God's spirit residing in them. Don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world, anyone who claims to be a follower of Christ but chooses to act like the rest of the world by being selfishly impatient with one another and with God becomes an enemy of God. And anyone who's an enemy of God obviously has a fractured relationship with him. James' point is unmistakably clear that impatience fractures relationship. It fractures our relationship with one another, and it fractures our relationship with God as well. A couple verses later, James goes straight to the root of the problem when he wrote this. God opposes. God resists. God actively pushes back against the proud. And in this context, the proud are those who have chosen to be enemies of God through selfish impatience. God opposes the proud, but shows favor, gives grace, gives what is not deserved and can be never earned to the humble. Bottom line, at the root of impatience is pride. The definition of pride is not ego. That's a symptom of it. The definition of pride is I. Pride puts I. It puts me at the center. Pride puts my wants, my needs, my desires, my pace above everything and everyone else. Pride puts my will, my agenda, my timing ahead of God's will, God's agenda, God's timing. And when I is at the center, I will always be impatient with God, and I will always be impatient with others when they don't move at my pace. At the root of impatience is pride. Pride we need to kill, we need to turn from, we need to repent of before it fractures our relationship with others and before it fractures our relationship with God. And here's how. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, who, by the way, is the one behind our pride, who wants to fill us with impatient pride because he wants to fracture our relationship with God and our relationship with others. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. And then James summed up everything he just said with one phrase. One phrase for how we kill, turn from, and repent of pride. And here it is. Humble yourselves. Humble yourselves before the Lord. And, meaning then, he will lift you up. He will show you favor. He will give you what you do not deserve and can never be earned. He will bless you by filling you with his presence and power. And then a few paragraphs later, James told us what humbling ourselves before the Lord looks like in real life. Be patient. Be patient then, brothers and sisters. James is saying, refuse to pressure God or others to move at your pace. Okay, James, okay. But how long do I have to be patient for? Until the Lord's coming. Meaning, until Jesus returns. Well, James, that might be a really long time. Yeah. He's saying, endure delay, difficulty, discomfort, and disappointment from God or others for longer than you want without reacting in anger, retaliation, or control. That's how you humble yourself before the Lord. That's how you keep in step with the Spirit. That's how you follow Jesus. You see how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains, patiently waiting for God to do what only he can do and send the rain, working hard while trusting in God's timing. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Do not grumble against one another, brother and sisters. And by the way, grumbling is when impatience turns outward. It's what happens when pride has taken root within us. Do not grumble against one another, or you will be judged. The judge, Jesus, is standing at the door, and he's going to hold us accountable for how we relate to one another. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets, the Old Testament prophets, who spoke in the name of the Lord, who patiently waited for God to move in his timing without impatiently retaliating against those who persecuted them. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered, who haven't pressured God to move at their pace and abandoned their trust in him. We count those blessed who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance. Job, from the Old Testament book of Job, who endured suffering and hardship and agony without abandoning God. He patiently trusted God for the outcome without trying to control the outcomes. You've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. And because he is, he shows favor and he gives grace in his perfect timing to the humble. Don't miss this. At the root of impatience is pride. And at the root of patience is humility. Prideful impatience pressures God and pressures others to move at your pace. Humble patience refuses to. Prideful impatience says, I know better and I deserve faster. Humble patience waits, restrains, and endures. Prideful impatience says, God, I'll decide the pace. Humble patience says, God, I submit to and trust in yours. Prideful impatience tries to force outcomes. Humble patience trusts God with the outcomes. Prideful impatience is selfish. Humble patience is selfless. Prideful impatience puts my wants, my needs, my desires, my pace first. Humble patience puts others first. Prideful impatience puts my will, my agenda, my timing ahead of God's. Humble patience says, God, your will be done. Prideful impatience fractures relationships. Humble patience heals, mends, restores, and improves them. Impatience is not a time problem. Impatience is a pride problem. And patience is not weakness. It's humility on display. Here's the big idea I hope you don't forget today. Patience is proof of humility before God and with others. Patience isn't about personality. Patience isn't about temperament. Patience, refusing to pressure God or others to move at your pace, is proof of humility before God and humility with others. God wants to grow the fruit of patience within us. And if you're a follower of Christ, you want it grown too, because impatience fractures relationship. But more importantly, patience is proof of humility before God and with others. And God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Now, James told us to be patient. Paul told us that patience is a fruit of the Spirit produced by him. Which is it? Do we choose to be patient and then the Holy Spirit grows the fruit of patience within us? Or does the Holy Spirit produce the fruit of patience within us so that we can choose to be patient? And the answer is yes. It's both of them. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit that's produced within us by Him. But as we've talked about every single week throughout this series, we have a part to play in that. So I want to leave you with three next steps to keep in step with the Spirit and follow Jesus by choosing to be patient, that basically positions us for the Holy Spirit to produce and grow and transform the fruit of patience within us more and more and more and more. Now, these next steps are very simple, but they aren't easy. They stretch me, so I'm assuming they're going to stretch you as well. Here's the first one. Pray for patience. James said, you do not have because you do not ask God. So, ask God for it. Now, here's a little bit of a warning. If you pray for it, what God is probably going to do is give you an opportunity to be patient so that He can produce it in you through that. That leads to the second next step. Practice patience. Practice patience when you see an opportunity to be patient. Practice patience with those who you feel impatient with. Practice patience when you feel impatience rising up within you. Now, I told you before, and I was very honest, I am naturally wired to be impatient. So I have to intentionally choose to humble myself and practice patience. It is very hard for me to do. So here's a few practical ways that I've been doing that. First thing is when I'm driving. I feel the need to get to where I'm trying to go as absolute fast as possible. Double yellow lines mean nothing to me. I will go around people in a heartbeat. I will punch a steering wheel. I will get so mad if you are driving slow. People driving slow, if you're not at least going 5 over the speed limit, it spins me into a dimension of pissed off that's hard to explain because it's slowing me down. It's just the way I'm wired. Now, since I feel that impatience inside of me, I know it's an opportunity to be patient. So what I've been choosing to do, and it is so hard for me, is just drive behind the person and not go around them. I've been choosing to practice patience and humbling myself. Let me give you another practical way I've been choosing to do this. Our paid staff here at Relevant are awesome. They serve you. They sacrifice so much for the mission of our church. But just like any employees, sooner or later, they make the boss mad and frustrated. That's me. They're on, but they make me mad and frustrated at times. And because of the way that I'm wired, my immediate, what I want to do is immediately address it. Address it right now. Let's take care of it right now. But I know me addressing it right now when I'm mad and frustrated can crush their soul. And I have no desire to crush their soul. So, as impatient as I feel about wanting to address it right now, I'm choosing to practice patience and I'm choosing to wait to talk to them and address it until I'm no longer mad, until I'm no longer frustrated. I'm choosing to humble myself and practice patience. Here's a third thing. I am wired to move fast, to go, to never slow down, to never second guess, to activate, to do it now and ask questions later. So whenever I feel a prompting and whenever I feel a stirring to pause, I know it's the Holy Spirit leading me to practice patience because I would never think about doing that. Ever. I would never think about doing that. I want to give you a very real life example of when this happened. It's kind of a big example in our life, and happened to be a big example in our church. So we started working on this Relevant Center expansion that we're doing right now. We started working on that at the end of 2020. You know what that means? It's been a long time. And it's killing my activator right now. Like, it's been a long time. But that's when we started working on putting all the plans together and how this would work. And, well, at the start of 2023, at the beginning of 2023, we finalized all of our plans for Unfinished. Unfinished, if you're new, that's our two-year generosity to help carry on to completion God's unfinished transforming work in our church, which one of those things is how it's helping funding build the Relevant Center expansion. Now, at the start of 2023, we kind of finalized the plan. The plan was to officially launch Unfinished in the spring of 2024. Now, you know we officially launched it in December of 2024, but our original plan at the start of 2023 was to officially launch Unfinished in the spring of 2024. So we, at the start of 2023, we're working on that. We're putting all the plans together, putting the strategy together, how we're going to launch Unfinished. And then one morning in my time with God, early in the morning before I went to the gym, I'm just praying about all this. And in my soul, I felt pause. Mm-mm. I felt like we should pause. And that we should wait and to do it until the fall of 2024 to launch Unfinished. And I'm like, nope. No, we have already been working on this long enough. Sprouts and Relevant Kids are already at full capacity. If we wait to do this, it's longer to build that. Like, we ain't pausing. And then I thought, I would never think of that. Never in a million years would I think we should pause. Ever. That would never cross my mind. So I'm like, crap, that's God. Now, I did not understand it. And I wanted my way and my pace, but instead, I chose to humble myself because it's not about me, and I told the team, we're going to pause until the fall of 2024. I could not explain it to them. They could not believe it, that I would ever say we're going to hit pause on something, but they trusted me when we hit pause. Now, you guys, this is honest to God. Do you know what happened in the spring of 2024, the week that we were supposed to launch Unfinished? A freaking tornado ripped through our community. The week we were supposed, in our original plans, to launch Unfinished. The week. If I would have chosen to be prideful and go, nope, it's going to be my pace and my way, We never would have been able to respond, us as a church, to the tornado in our community like we did. We never would have been able to do it. And God would not have done all that he did through Unfinished. And I don't have time to tell all that story because it's awesome. You guys know that. Pray for patience. Practice patience. And third, persevere in patience. Endure delay, difficulty, discomfort, disappointment without reacting in anger, retaliation, or control for longer than you want. Don't give up in practicing patience. Persevere in patience only until the Lord returns. So not very long. That's how you humble yourself before the Lord. That's how you keep in step with the Spirit. That's how you follow Jesus. And that's how God transforms us into everything he's created us to be. Now, for those of us who are followers of Christ, I want to make a very specific challenge to you. Do not miss this. Pray for patience, practice patience, and persevere in patience with people you most want to see change. With people who aren't changing fast enough for you. With people you feel most tempted to pressure to change at your pace. And with people you feel impatient with because they just won't change. And the reason that I am challenging you to do this specifically with those people is this. God was and God is patient with you. And when you choose to be impatient with others, when I choose to be impatient with others, we lose sight of that. And the Apostle Paul never lost sight of it. The Apostle Paul never forgot it. In the New Testament book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, here's what Paul wrote. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of who I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ might display his, this is huge, his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Paul's saying, I know what I deserve because of my violation of sin against Holy Creator God. I deserve his wrath. I deserve death. But God was immensely patient with me. And he's been immensely patient with you too. Don't lose sight of that. And since God has been immensely patient with me, and he's been immensely patient with you, how could we respond with anything other than humble patience with others, even when they're not changing at the pace we want them to change, because you didn't change and I didn't change at the pace that God wants us to change either. Now, for those of you who would not call yourselves followers of Christ, you've never put your faith in Jesus, I'm so glad you're here. I just want to say something to you. I'm not saying it to be offensive. I'm only saying it because I love you. God is being immensely patient with you. Just like me, your violation of sin against him broke your relationship with him that he created you for. And just like with me, the punishment of your sin is death. That's what you deserve, but that's not what your heavenly Father wants for you. He loves you. And he proved that by sending his son Jesus to die on the cross for you in your place to pay the penalty of your violation of sin against him, to forgive you for your sin, to restore and redeem and reconcile your broken relationship with him in this life and in the next, and to offer you eternal life. God is patiently waiting on you to turn to him by putting your faith in Jesus, by asking Jesus to be the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life. And I believe there is no better time to do that than today. And there is no pressure to do that. But if you feel that prompting and you feel that stirring, you're like, I cannot believe I'm even thinking about this. I believe that's God's Spirit prompting you and inviting you. And in just a moment when I pray, I'm gonna give you an opportunity to put your faith in Jesus. Now, since the fruit of the Spirit, or since the fruit is the proof, the question I encourage all of us to wrestle with this week individually within our T-Life groups is, who am I being impatient with? Is it with him or her? Or might it be with God? Who am I being impatient with? And what is that proving? Is it proving humility? Or is it proving pride? Because it's proven one of them. Listen, whoever you're being impatient with, others or God, pray for patience, practice patience, persevere in patience, because impatience fractures relationship. At the root of impatience is pride, and at the root of patience is humility. God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. And patience is proof of humility before God and with others. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your immense patience with me. I'd never take it for granted, and I will never forget it. And Lord, just knowing that and knowing how patient you have been and continue to be with me, I just know there is no way I cannot be patient with others. And so, Lord, in the midst of my pride, I am choosing to humble myself before you. And I pray we all do. I choose to be patient. And as we do, I pray you just continue to produce and grow and transform this fruit within us more and more and more, so we can look more like you and become more like you. Dear Lord, for every person ever put their faith in you, Jesus, who feels a prompting and a stirring to do that today, I pray that right now, where they're at quietly, either in this room or at home, they choose to put their faith in you. That right now they confess their need for a Savior because of their violation of sin that broke their relationship with you. And they declare, Jesus, they believe you are the Savior and that you can save because of your death and resurrection. And right now, I pray they put their faith in you by asking you to be the forgiver of their sins, their Savior, and the leader of their lives, their Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.